This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
As we go along, let us study the male anatomy. Most men know less about their own bodies than they do about their automobiles.
The following feature has been rated R.
Don't panic.
This program contains coarse language.
It is recommended for people aged 15 years and over.
Are you ready? Sit back, turn up the volume, and enjoy our show.
Welcome.
Good evening and welcome to Hide and Seek for another Wednesday night. A big thank you to those chicks talking footy. We'll look forward to seeing them back in the new year. This is Hide and Seek, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. My name is Andrew the Apprentice. Joining me this evening is Mr. Tim.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Thanks for having me back.
Yes.
Had a bit of a rough week last week.
You had a bit of...
I made it in.
Very good. Very pleased to see you. Yes. And are you all ready and prepared for the Big Bear weekend happening up in Daylesford this weekend?
I am. I'm going for a little trip up there myself. And
as am
the
I.
The sexy Santa run is all happening.
It is. We're going to find out a little bit about that very shortly. But yeah, it is big weekend up in Daylesford. No doubt the guys in the woods on Thursday nights here on Joy will have all about it tomorrow night. But, yeah, we'll touch base on it very quickly in a moment.
Very exciting.
But, of course, it is the 30th of November, which means tomorrow is World AIDS Day. The 1st of December every year is World AIDS Day. Also, Joy's birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday, Joy.
And the first day of summer.
Oh, yes, that's right.
I have been waiting for this day all winter. But it doesn't really mean much, though, here in Melbourne.
It doesn't. I think Daylesford's supposed to be hot on the weekend, though. In one way, it's one. Yes, World AIDS Day is tomorrow. So there are quite a few things happening around Melbourne with regards to World AIDS Day. Of course, if you have been listening to Joy, you would be aware that there is a community forum happening at 11 a.m. tomorrow, which is being a panel discussion moderated by Ro Allen, the commish, and that is happening at the AMREP Theatre in next to the Alfred on Commercial Road. But also, of course, there is the official community launch happening at 9 a.m. and the Remember World AIDS Day Memorial Ceremony happening at the Positive Living Centre, also on Commercial Road in South Yarra at 6 p.m. tomorrow night. So there are lots of details on the Joy website, joy.org.au, and also, of course, the Victorian AIDS Council website, which is vac.org.au. So check those out, and also Living Positive Victoria will have lots of information as well. So if you have the chance, get along to lots of the World AIDS Day events that are happening tomorrow. In recognition that it is World AIDS Day tomorrow, tonight on Hide and Seek, we are being joined by the Manager of Infectious Infectious Diseases Surveillance at the Burnett Institute. Carol, so she's going to be joining us very shortly to talk about that.
Very good.
Very good. So, coming up very shortly, as we said, it is World AIDS Day tomorrow. It is Joy's 23rd birthday tomorrow as well.
Wow.
And as we mentioned, we have got Carol from who is the manager of Infectious Diseases Surveillance at the Burnett Institute, joining us very shortly to talk all about that. This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew the Apprentice here along with Mr. Tim. And Tim, it is the eve of World AIDS Day.
I know, I got my badge.
You got your badge?
Yes.
If you're in the city and
ready
you're...
Ready to represent.
There's, no doubt there'll be lots of red ribbon people, lots of people holding out. Handing out red ribbons tomorrow morning in the city and around Melbourne. So go and grab one.
And they're selling shopping bags too.
Shopping bags.
Yep. Take them to Coles.
And if you're in the city and you wanted there's a heap of Joy here as well. If you wanted to come and grab one, I'm sure we'd love to see you around the station.
Certainly would.
Now, an important part of World AIDS Day is, of course, knowing as much as we can about HIV and how it's impacting the Australian community. And part of that is, of course, knowing, well, really, how many people are living with HIV at the moment and how many notifications are happening every year. And somebody who looks after a lot of that information is the Manager of Infectious Diseases Surveillance at the Burnett Institute, Carol L. Hayek. Good evening.
Hi. Hi, Andrew and Tim.
Thank you for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you are an epidemiologist.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
So basically epidemiology is a study of diseases within populations. So my job, like infectious disease surveillance manager, is quite a mouthful, but basically, and surveillance sounds a little bit sort of creepy and stalky, but basically what it means is that we monitor disease, and in particular in my role, I monitor HIV and STIs within the Victorian population.
So what happens to someone when they go to their GP, say, and has a test for HIV, and that comes back positive? What happens at the, I suppose, bureaucratic side of things?
In terms of their information?
Yeah.
So what happens is that, well, in all states around Australia, it's mandated that doctors diagnosing any HIV case report that to the Department of Health. And basically what that means is that they need to fill out a notification form, and that includes a name code, so not their full name, but a name code and a date of birth and date of diagnosis. And with HIV, there are additional questions around the characteristics of individuals who are diagnosed and what their behaviours might have been and how they presented to the doctor at the time. And that all gets sent into the Department of Health, and we at the Burnett Institute are contracted by the department to manage that information and feed it back to, you know, community, clinics, government, whoever needs to know for public health purposes.
And this happens right, and you look after this for Victoria, but obviously similar systems happen in every state.
Yeah.
And
that's
then
right.
We're just having a look at the Kirby Institute. The Kirby Institute looks at the national data. Everyone sends their data to Kirby.
Yeah, so each state and jurisdiction will then send the data, so completely de-identified. It will be sent to the Kirby Institute, and they are responsible for producing an annual report. So, and that's publicly available to the Australian population. As you can see, it's all aggregated data, so no one's ever identified or anything. But it's just so we know what the trends are, I guess.
So just looking at the data, would we be right to say that it has stabilised?
Yeah, so in terms of diagnosis, yeah, it has. So for the past few years, there's the numbers have kind of fluctuated a little bit, but they kind of hang around about 1,000 cases a year Australia-wide. And it sort of sounds like that's not great given that, you know, there are all these sort of prevention efforts and all these efforts to reduce HIV.
Sure.
But, yeah, there are a lot of reasons why HIV might stabilise.
So, and in many ways that's also means that the stabilisation means the per capita is actually falling as well because the population
is
growing.
Yes, that's right. So if the population's growing, you're right. And the other thing to think about as well is that the population of people living with HIV is actually increasing. You know, so it's by 1,000 each year, and plus the migration as well.
Yep.
So that pool of individuals or the number of people living with HIV, that community is increasing. And then if you kind of think about the number of new infections against the against that growing population,
yep,
it's actually quite good.
Sure.
The numbers aren't going up and up and up. So, yeah. So in relation to the amount that increase in the number of HIV cases around, it actually is not a bad thing to see stable numbers.
So would it be too early to tell the results from, say, PrEP and trials there?
It might be. I mean, you know, before we can kind of be confident that there's an impact being made in terms of, you know, slowing down new infections, we probably have to see some decline for a good period of time.
Sure.
So seeing the numbers kind of go up and down by 4 or 5% or 10% or whatever each year is probably not enough to tell us much. We want to see a nice decline for a good solid few years.
So perhaps we need to wait a few more years to see what's actually happened from those trials.
Well, we can say definitely that with PrEP and the way that, say, for example, the trials that are going on, part of going on to those trials is actually a baseline test for HIV.
Sure.
So you can't actually, you know, participate in any of the PrEP trials if you're not having regular HIV testing.
Yes.
And so I guess for PrEP, we'll probably start to see an increase in the diagnosis of HIV when people who have not tested for a long time, for example, might show up for testing so that they can participate in a PrEP trial. And in fact, this year in Victoria, we've seen a slight increase in the number of diagnosis, but as I said before, we can't tell definitively why that is. But what we also have seen within the new diagnosis is this year is a slight increase in the number of people diagnosed who haven't been tested before or who haven't been tested for a long time. So that's actually quite, you know,
that's a great, cool.
Yeah, it's
that's great,
great
news story
that we're seeing, you know, some undiagnosed HIV actually becoming diagnosed because of something like PrEP.
And according to the data here, 27% increase in HIV testing frequency in the last 5 years.
Mm.
So the testing itself has actually gone up.
It has. There's been a lot of effort nationwide to increase testing. You know, there's been, you know, rapid testing, for example. There's also clinics that are doing things within the clinic to improve their testing frequency of their patients. There's contact tracing. So all of that stuff's been ramped up over the last few years to improve testing, yeah.
Sure.
And the more you test, obviously, the more diagnosis you're going to get.
Of course.
We're chatting with Carol L. Hayek, Manager of Infectious Disease Surveillance at the Burnet Institute. Now, with regards to testing, as we said, 27% nationally increase over the last 5 years. A lot of that, as you said, due to things like Pronto here in Victoria, rapid testing. What, from Burnet Institute's point of view, is there enough testing? How can testing be expanded?
Well, we're seeing a lot of testing in. So, I think about 60% of diagnoses occur at sexual health clinics and GP clinics that specialise in gay men's health. But over the last few years, we've also seen an increase in HIV diagnoses within general practice. So that's also a good thing because sometimes, sometimes the GP clinics that specialise in gay men's health can, you know, be testing at capacity. You know, they may not be able to open all hours of the day and night or shrink their consultation time or whatever to fit in more testing. So so it's nice to see that there is more testing going on in GP land. And the other thing too is there is pronto, there's outreach testing going on and so on, but there probably has to be a bit of a push to get HIV testing occurring outside of those main clinics and main centres. There's been some discussion recently around self-testing as well that's occurring in the US and the UK, and perhaps that's something that should be really thought about here in Victoria to increase the frequency of testing. In Australia, yeah. I should say.
So do we know really, and we think about here in Victoria, obviously there's a major, Melbourne's, 4 million people. Victorian population is very concentrated in Melbourne, but there are, of course, regional communities. Are you aware of, is there any major difference in data that you're concerned about, say, that, you know, there is not enough testing happening in regional Victoria, say, and therefore there are actually fewer notifications than you might otherwise expect?
That's an interesting question. The issue, I guess, we have there is that we've not got enough testing information for regional areas of Victoria to know how much testing is going on there and whether we're seeing the same increases in testing. Anecdotally, we hear that a lot of people have to travel quite a bit to get, you know, HIV services, and whether that includes testing or not, that's probably quite an interesting thing for us to start to look at more closely. But generally, in Victoria, I think about 15% of cases are diagnosed regionally. There are HIV specialists out in regional towns, but how accessible they are, I don't know. So it's definitely an area that needs to be thought about. And I know VAC has started to establish some regional rapid testing.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's definitely, I'm just saying anecdotally, there is definitely a need. We don't have the data or the evidence, but, yeah, there's definitely things that can be done to improve testing in the regional areas.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. It's the eve of World AIDS Day. Andrew and Tim are chatting with Carol, who's the Manager of Infectious Diseases Surveillance at the Burnett Institute. Carol, we were just chatting. We should mention we've got Brad here, of course, Led Leatherman 2016, who is having a checking out how we're doing tonight. Not too great. No, just the panelling for me. We were talking in the break about the theme of the World AIDS Day this year is HIV on the move. And Brad asked an interesting question, and that with the theme of HIV on the move, it part of that is of course the idea that it's moving amongst the community. And is there any information about amongst the heterosexual community about the infectious notifications about HIV?
So each year we get about 20% of notifications in people reporting heterosexual sex as their exposure. This year, actually, we've had a slight increase in the number of men heterosexual men who've been diagnosed. The thing about heterosexual diagnoses, I guess, is that it's interesting to know that they test a hell of a lot more. There's much more testing going on in the heterosexual community because of antenatal screening, insurance testing.
Oh, wow.
All that sort of stuff that we don't think about.
Yeah.
So, in fact, HIV testing among gay men makes up such a small proportion of HIV testing in the state.
Really?
Yeah. There's also, there's incidental, I guess, diagnoses occurring because of that. And the other thing too is that with heterosexuals, we find that they present later compared to gay men because they're not quite as aware of their sexual risk or their exposure to HIV. And they're really diverse in terms of where they come from, where they live, what their family's makeup is, age range, all that sort of thing, whether they're migrants or Australian born, there's it's very, very diverse in terms of who is diagnosed in the heterosexual community.
Are there programs in the heterosexual community? I'm not aware of any personally.
Yeah, so the ones that I'm aware of are more targeted to migrant communities.
Right.
So there's the Multicultural Health and Support Service, which is funded by the Victorian state government to do health promotion among migrants who might be at increased risk of viral hepatitis, HIV and STIs. But in terms of other campaigns, I'm not aware of any.
So with regards to the surveillance data that you collect, are there any other big trends that you observe?
In terms of HIV?
Yeah, in terms of HIV and population characteristics, I guess.
Yeah, so I think we've covered the main ones in terms of where people are being diagnosed, mm-hmm. how late they're presenting, the fact that we're seeing people who have not tested for a long time. We're seeing some increases in people from Southeast Asia, where there's a concern around perhaps there's international student communities that might not be, or they might be particularly vulnerable to HIV and other STIs. Mm-hmm. But other than that, yeah, they're all the ones I can think about.
So as you said, the notification systems for HIV, can we shift now to the other STIs?
Sure.
Because part of the debate, shall we say, the debate lesson now around PrEP, of course, is the STI linkage and whether people having condomless sex, given they're on PrEP, and does that result in an increase in STIs? Does it?
Well,
do we know yet? we had the question before about whether PrEP has decreased HIV, but has it increased?
Yeah, so we are seeing an increase in STIs. So, for example, syphilis, we saw a 50% increase in syphilis last year.
50%.
50%.
But is that from 1 to 2, or is it?
No, it's almost 1,000 cases diagnosed last year.
Wow.
We're seeing a lot of reinfection, and we're seeing a lot of syphilis in HIV positive men. So to say that it's because of PrEP, it's just way too
early.
Early.
Mm-hmm.
I guess where PrEP comes into this is, and you've probably had these discussions before, is that, a lot of people will want to be on PrEP so they can have condomless sex, and they can feel safe having sex with someone who is HIV positive, for example. So we're all kind of anticipating this increase in STIs, and I think it's probably quite practical because we know there's so much syphilis already there. So if the STIs weren't there at that prevalence, then it probably wouldn't see this impact.
Mm.
But because there already exists, 1,000 cases of syphilis, and that's just the diagnosed ones, and then that constant repeat syphilis occurring. So because that's already there, and the fact that STIs can, what am I trying to say? That they can
increase the risk of HIV.
Yeah, they can increase the risk of HIV and other STIs anyway. And with sexual networks and with condomless sex, of course, we're likely to see this increase occurring.
But as we said, the testing automatic is already building at the moment anyway, so it sort of goes hand in hand in many ways.
Yeah, it goes hand in hand because, of course, the more you test, the more you find.
Yeah.
But I think the concerning thing about syphilis, for example, and gonorrhea is the repeat infection occurring.
Yep.
So while people are coming in, being diagnosed and being treated, maybe their sexual networks are not being diagnosed and treated, and so therefore they're at risk of that repeat infection, and then repeat infection increases your risk of HIV as well.
Do you know what the percentage is of the people that have presented symptoms?
I know that there's more diagnosis occurring in people who are asymptomatic. So the
right.
So there's a huge reduction in the diagnosis of people with symptoms.
Okay.
Wow.
Yep. So they're just going in for random testing and they find they've got it.
And I think PrEP will increase testing anyway because the trial, for example, you have to have syphilis and gonorrhea and chlamydia testing every 3 months to get your script. So we'll probably will capture those repeat infections or new diagnoses early and without symptoms, which is great.
Do you have a business, product or service that needs to be seen and heard? Become a Joy sponsor and get the best of both worlds. Have your message heard on air by 329,000 monthly listeners. Have your message seen online at joy.org.au via the Joy sponsorship directory. Sponsorship starts from as low as $295. And best of all, those who sponsor us for more than 1 month are featured on our listing free. Yes, free! Call 1-300-JOY-949 or email sales@joy.org.au for more details. Joy 94.9, the diverse voice of the GLBTI community.
This is Hide and Seek, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self on the eve of World AIDS Day. Andrew and Tim are having a chat with Carol, Manager of Infectious Diseases Surveillance at the Burnett Institute. Tim.
Yes. So we're talking about the care cascade for HIV diagnoses. And there's some targets here. Can you explain those?
Yeah, sure. So the care cascade is a relatively new concept, and it comes from global targets, I guess, for controlling major diseases around the world, and HIV is one of them. There's a lot of countries around the world that have signed up to this 90-90-90 target for HIV, and what that means is that if we diagnose 90% of people who have HIV and 90% of them are engaged in care and on treatment, and 90% of those people on treatment have suppressed viral load, then we can substantially reduce incident infection and begin to control HIV around the world. So in Australia, the Kirby reports put out some care cascade figures, and it looks like we're pretty close in terms of 90% living with HIV being diagnosed and under 90% having received antiretroviral therapy, but the majority of the people receiving therapy being on treatment. These numbers are estimates, and they're based on mathematical modelling. We've done similar work in Victoria based on the testing data and clinic data. And actually, we find that the viral suppression and the people, of the people diagnosed, the majority are in care, which is good news, about 90% or so. But less than 90% have achieved viral suppression from our data in Victoria. And the other thing to think about, I guess, is there's another aspect to this, I guess, and that is what's happened with the 10%. And the global goal is to reduce incidence, but I think usually that 10% of people who are undiagnosed or 10% who are not in care are still a really important group to target for, obviously, for health and support and all those other things. And usually from what we know from countries around the world is that they're usually particularly vulnerable, the 10%. So I think even if we do achieve the 90-90-90, at which we're very close to, there's still a lot of work to be done, I think, for individual quality of life and supporting people living with HIV.
But yeah, we're quite close by the sound of it. I suppose the biggest unknown there is obviously you have the notifications of those who are HIV positive, and therefore you can track after that.
Yeah.
But the
getting biggest unknown, yes, you're right.
Getting it to know, Is that 90% accurate? Mm. Is that first 90% accurate, I suppose, is the big challenge.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And that's also the biggest risk. So the, you know, majority of HIV transmission occurs when someone doesn't know their status. So, and if they're infected recently. So the most important bar, I suppose, is that first one where we diagnose as many people as we can.
So, as we've been mentioning a couple of times, PrEP, we think, is increasing testing, increasing notifications of HIV, potentially increasing notifications of other STIs. How long do you think is someone's used the term flushed out. How long will that take to flush out?
That is a good question. In fact, I haven't really given it a lot of thought, but I would say before I felt confident that things were changing, I'd say at least 2 or 3 years to see that decline occurring. Then I'd kind of feel like, yes, we're getting there.
Because my understanding is, particularly with PrEP, is that the trials are nearing capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, there's as many people as we can, and obviously there's others importing it from overseas as well. But I suppose we'll have to wait to see how long the notifications take to start declining.
To turn around.
Mm. But yeah, so it might be a little bit of time.
Mm.
Ah, that's right. And then so the Vic Prep, the first one, the Vic Prep trial is actually full, and so the Prep X trial is I think near getting full pretty quickly though.
Yeah, that's right. I think they're very close to full, and now they're recruiting in regional areas.
Yeah. Mm. So yeah, so that's right. They maintained a certain number.
That's right.
To make sure that they got the regional areas covered. So. Mm. If you're not on it yet, make sure you've chatted to your doctor if you feel like you need to go on it.
And I think as well, it's as you pointed out earlier, it's a multi-pronged approach. Mm. It's not, okay, let's just have PrEP as the golden ticket, but also to look at treatment as prevention and making sure that that's adhered to as well.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it is, of course, World AIDS Day tomorrow. I'm assuming it's a pretty busy day down at Burnett's, isn't it?
It will be, yes. It will be. Hope to see a lot of you there.
Yep. So, of course, there is the community forum happening at 11 o'clock at the AMREP Theatre next door to the Alfred, where the Burnett is, of course, located. There is the memorial happening tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. at the Positive Living Centre, which is also just down the road from the Alfred on Commercial Road. And there is an official community launch happening, but I'm not sure where that is. But if you head along to worldaidsday.com.au, you can check out all the events that are happening around Melbourne for that.
There's also, can I mention, the MHIVE Symposium at the Burnett. So that's happening after the 11 o'clock launch. And there'll be some really interesting speakers speaking about living with HIV experiences. There'll be, clinicians and so on talking about that. And also some of the most recent research is going to be presented as well. So stick around.
Fantastic. So get along. Burnett Institute, of course, is as part of the Alfred Complex on Commercial Road.
Yep.
Carol L. Hayek, Manager of Infectious Diseases Surveillance at the Burnett Institute. Thank you so much for joining us this evening here on Hide and Seek.
It's been a pleasure.
And Tim, that's been it for another Hide and Seek. It is, of course, World AIDS Day tomorrow, so make sure you wear your red ribbon.
Yes, and a big thank you to David for putting together our podcast every week. He does it tirelessly.
He does. Happy 23rd birthday to Joy tomorrow. Now, it has been a change of the seasons here at Joy 94.9. So our new program scheduled started on Monday. And coming up next is Indie Heads, which is Joy's new home for independent music with Declan and Emily.
Woohoo!
Best of luck, break a leg, guys. They are all ready to go over in the other studio.
They're going to make some noise.
They are. So
literally.
Stay tuned throughout the evening here on Joy 94.9. We'll be back next week, Tim.
We certainly will.
Until then, bye for now.
Bye.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.